So there's an old spiritual that some of you may have heard or may not have heard, and as it's a spiritual, a kind of a folk song, it's got a lot of different versions and a lot of verses, but the key question the song asks over and over is, who'll be a witness for my Lord? But what does it mean to be a witness? I know what it means to be a witness in court. It means that someone who saw something relevant to the case at hand has something to say that's important as the court seeks to make a decision. Some of you maybe have even been a witness in court. But when a preacher says, "Can I get a witness?" which I admit in many Methodist churches, at least in this part of the country, folks don't say very often. But if a preacher were to ask, "Can I get a witness?" what would that even mean? Well, I've seen people try to witness to their faith in a lot of ways. I've seen people speaking on the street corner with a microphone and a portable amplifier. I remember my college roommate coming back one day after he'd been studying on the quad and said, "I had this family come up and talk to me about Jesus while I was reading on the quad today." I've had people talk to me over breakfast at a hotel and say, "Do you know where your soul is going to go when you die?" But what does it really mean to be a witness? Is that how we are to witness, or does being a witness mean something else? Well, let's go back to the meaning of a witness in court. A witness must testify truthfully. To lie in court means that injustice might happen, that justice might not be done. If a person lies in court, an innocent person might suffer a fine or an imprisonment or even worse. There is a reason that lying under oath is a serious crime. There is a reason that number 9 of the 10 Commandments is, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." If courts cannot be trusted, the rule of law can break down. Violence and chaos can break out. It is important that witnesses not lie. A witness in court must say truthfully what they have heard and seen, perhaps even what they've smelled or tasted or touched. The integrity of our laws depend upon it. So what does it mean in that context to be a witness for our Lord? To be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be a witness for God's love, is also to say what we have seen and heard and felt of the life-changing love of God known to us through Christ Jesus. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author reminds the readers of the witness of people from the past, people from the history of the Israelites, who had great faith in God, whose faith in God allowed them to be able to stand up to great danger and to great trials. And through trusting God, they were able to transform their communities and transform our world. We hear so many people referred to, and we don't have time to look at all of their stories, but we hear of Rahab, whose faith was able to save her family when her home city was destroyed in war. We hear of people like Samuel and Barak, who led the people of Israel in war against oppressive enemies and who had great courage that came from their faith. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that these people were witnesses. These people demonstrated the sincerity of their trust in God. None of these witnesses, these people of great faith, were able to see the world completely transformed. As it says at the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, they did not see the new heaven and the new earth, but they saw that God was at work in this world, and they trusted that God was at work in this world. And they witnessed in two ways. They witnessed by following the call that they believed God was putting on their life, and they then shared their stories so that through hearing of their witness, others might be inspired to have a relationship with God. And then look at our brief passage from Acts today, just a few verses, but full of meaning. Who were these people that Jesus was talking to? These were Jesus' followers. These were the 12 apostles and probably many others who had followed Jesus, maybe around 120 people. They had been witnesses to the power of God through Jesus Christ. They had seen healings. They had seen miracles. Above all, they had seen the risen Christ after he had been crucified and after the resurrection on that first Easter long ago. And they had also heard amazing things. They had heard Jesus preaching of the power of forgiveness, of the fact that God loves each and every person in this world, no matter what, of the fact that God gives us the ability to love our neighbors even the people we might think of as our enemies. So Jesus said to them, "You will be my witnesses." Now we know the end of the story. If you read the rest of the book of Acts, you would hear a lot of the rest of the story. But Jesus might have said to these followers, when God gives you the power, and it will come soon, you will be gifted to speak to this world. You will change lives, and you will change the world through the gift that the Holy Spirit will give you. And these folks were faithful witnesses. There were 120 of them. There are now 2.5 billion followers of Jesus Christ in this world. And the witness of those 120 is what set in motion all of us and all of the people, including those of us here today, who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to be a witness for our Lord here in Sterling in the year 2018? It means sharing how the love of God known to us through Jesus Christ has made an impact on our lives, how it has changed or transformed us in some way. We don't just come here each week because we should. We don't even come here each week just to see our friends, though what a blessing it is to have friends and a church family to love and support us. But rather, we come here because Christ came to transform lives, and Christ is still transforming lives, even to this very moment today. Christ changes things. Sometimes a person has a moment where it feels like Christ changed their life instantaneously. For some other people, it may be that they were familiar with parts of the gospel of Christ from a very young age, and Christ day by day and year by year transform their lives gradually. It doesn't matter which is true for you, and I think in most cases it's somewhere in between. But the point is, Jesus Christ is transforming lives. Christ transformed my life. I think I can sincerely say I'm not sure I'd be physically alive anymore if not for my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And God has transformed the lives of so many more people through Jesus Christ. I am sure that if we had the time, we could hear story after story of those of you sitting here, or anyone who might be watching this on the internet right now, story after story of how the love of God through Christ Jesus changed your life. Stories of people coming through depression, coming through anxiety, coming through grief, coming through illness, coming through persecution, coming through economic hardship, whatever else. Because the love of God and Christ Jesus gave them strength they didn't know they had. Let me share one story of one witness that someone shared with me. At the church where I was a student pastor about 13 years ago, there was an old woman who sat down and told me part of her story. As a young girl, she had witnessed a terrible crime. One of her neighbors in South Carolina was lynched and killed. An act of mob violence. That night haunted her for decades. She drank for decades to try and go to sleep at night because she could still see and hear what she'd seen as a little girl. But she told of how the love of God through Jesus Christ eventually gave her the strength to put the lid on the bottle and to set aside the alcohol that she had abused for so long and to grow in her relationship with God and to find faith. And you know what? She had a story to tell. She had a witness. She greeted people when they came to church every Sunday, and believe me, she greeted them all with a hug and brought them in because she knew the power of Christ to transform people's lives. She was called Mother by the people in that congregation because she had raised up so many of them in the faith. We are all called to be witnesses in some form. Now, often when we think of witness, we think of words. That's often how the word is used. And some people do have the gift of words. They will preach to congregations. They might speak to huge crowds. They might write words that are read by millions. And through words, they will witness to the power of Christ, what Christ has done in their lives and what Christ has done in the lives of others. And they might invite many people into relationship with God. But not everyone is going to speak to a huge crowd. In fact, most of us won't. That's not the calling that everyone has. And we should also remember that when we speak, it's not about saying to someone, you have to believe exactly what I do. You have to experience Christ the same way I have. Rather, it's saying, God loves you so much that God sent God's Son to teach you of that love. I invite you to see what it would mean for you to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes the words that people speak will not be to a huge crowd, it'll be just to a few people, but it doesn't make the words any less important. Another story from the first church that I served many years ago as an associate pastor. There was a woman whose husband had suffered a terrible accident, and he had lost a leg due to an accident at work. This event devastated their family financially. They had medical bills that they could not pay. He was the primary breadwinner for their family. They had young children to try to rear, and he had a very long and very painful recovery where he was not able to do many things that he had done previously to help their family function. It was a long, difficult period for them. But that man and that woman knew that God was with them, and Christ gave them strength, and they came through that time of trial. However, they didn't talk about it much because, unfortunately, as the woman told me many years later, I didn't think anyone in church would care. I'll tell you what, when she shared her story with a group of us around the table at the coffee shop one Thursday morning, we cared. That was an example of how the power of Christ and the love of Christ can transform the life of an everyday person. She had a story to share, and her witness was powerful. All of us have a witness that is powerful. But not everyone will do their witness primarily through their words. Let me give you a few examples of some other witnesses. None of these are ones that are hypothetical, by the way. The person who gives 17 gallons of blood over their life and saves the life of dozens of people is being a witness. The person who invites the kids from a new church start to come out to their farm and to play in the barn, even though none of those kids speak the same language as the farmer that owns the farm, is a witness. The soldier who reaches out to a troubled comrade and offers words of hope and healing from the Bible is a witness. The person who stops to help a family with car trouble on a cold winter's night is a witness. Whenever anyone does anything in Jesus' name because the love of Jesus inspired them to bless someone else, they are being a witness. All followers of Jesus Christ are asked to be witnesses by our words and deeds. It's easy to say beautiful things about Jesus Christ, but our life must also demonstrate the transformation. And likewise, sometimes we need the courage if somebody asks us, well, why did you go and help that person who is a neighbor who's laid up? Why did you sit with that person who just lost a loved one? Why are you volunteering here in the schools? If we are doing it because the love of God through Jesus Christ has inspired us to do so, we need to have the courage to say, because this is how I live out my relationship with God. This is how I live out what Jesus has taught me to do. We sometimes need to ponder our words carefully, but when the Spirit nudges us, it's good to share our story. And it's good to simply reach out and love people, to do what we need to do to show regard and care and compassion for them. Each person's witness here will be unique. Not a one of us is exactly the same, and our relationship with God will not be exactly the same, and that's fine. The point is, how have we seen and experienced the transforming love of Christ, and how can we sincerely witness to that and share that with others? And I don't necessarily believe that everyone right here, right now, who is listening to this may have a witness just yet. If you're at a stage in your faith journey where you're not sure about Jesus Christ, where you're just exploring, that is okay. We are glad that you are here today, sitting here, or listening to this over the internet. And I pray for you that your love and relationship with Christ may grow. And when it has grown, I have no doubt that you will have a witness to share with somebody. But if we have been transformed in any way, understanding that we've still got transformation to go, just because you've been changed by God doesn't mean you're perfect yet. It's like I've said to the confirmation students several times, I love y'all, but you ain't perfect. It's true for all of us. But if we've been transformed, if we've been loved by God, let us live out that witness. Let us share that. Let us love others. Let us share the story if someone asks. We of this generation are the spiritual descendants of that 120 long ago who started witnessing to the power of Jesus Christ. May we find the courage to witness, and may our witness offer love, in Christ's name. Amen.